This week's overseas correspondent, a woman in Tokyo, Japan, Motoko Kakabayashi. Kia ora, Motoko. Welcome back to Nights.
Kia ora, Brian. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, it's great to have you on. How are you doing with COVID in Japan now?
Well, we're still getting a couple of thousand new cases in Tokyo every day. But I think people are just starting to ask the question, when are we going to be able to get rid of these really annoying masks?
Right. So is wearing masks in New Zealand, it depends on where you are. My workplace, outside of the studio, I've got to wear a mask. Other workplaces, it's optional. In public places now, it's optional more or less, and often you won't see people wearing masks for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've said before on Nights that Japan has already has a mask wearing culture, especially in the winter when influenza kind of goes around. And that makes sense because, especially here in Tokyo, there's just so many people packed into a tiny area. So it just makes sense to mask up. But the thing is that everyone's been wearing masks since 2020. So it's been well over 2 years now. And people are starting to get a little tired of it. We're coming into the really hot, muggy summer season over here. So a lot of medical associations, they're beginning to have doctors say maybe it's safe enough to take off a mask this summer, especially if you're outside and you maintain social distancing.
Because, yes, Japanese summers are extremely humid. Motoko, do you know why it is that you get such humid summers? I mean, is it because it's so close to a massive landmass and a whole lot of warm air comes across from Eurasia that then gets full of moisture from the Japanese sea and then you're soaking in it?
I think that is part of it. And as far as I know, the summers have always been very hot and muggy. I mean, they have been getting a lot hotter in the last few years, and a lot of people have been linking that to climate change. But, the bottom line is that summer is just very unbearable in Japan. So we're quite, I am quite keen to take off a mask if I'm outside in a reasonably spaced out area. The thing that I find quite interesting in Japan is that if you don't wear a mask, then it's just seen as socially taboo. You ask people on the streets whether they're comfortable to take off their masks, and an overwhelming majority will say that they are quite worried, mainly because, like I said, there's just so many people, especially here in the city, that the fact that you could easily infect a lot of people, that you could easily catch COVID from other people, is just so high. But I mean, on the other side, there's this really interesting thing going on, is that my kids are really, they think that wearing masks is pretty normal now. I'm not sure.
Because that's what they've grown. How old are your children now, Motoko?
They're 5 and coming up to 2. So obviously my 2-year-old doesn't wear a mask because for various reasons, he just he forgets a lot of things. He's still learning a lot. But my 5-year-old, he enjoys wearing masks, but I don't think that's because he enjoys the fact that he is protecting himself and others from a disease. I think he's more or less enjoying the fact that he can choose which superhero, which anime character mask he gets to wear today.
Well, that's so clever, though. That's a clever way of encouraging mask use among the young demographic.
Yes, it is. So this morning I asked him, which masks do you need to take? Because he has to take 2. And he said, I want my Transformers mask. And in the afternoon, I want my Pokemon mask. And that's just the conversation we have every morning now.
And the thing is, he's been wearing these masks since he was 3. So almost half his life.
That's right. So, and what is interesting is that because he runs around a lot with his friends. He'll run out the door and play with his friends down the street. But when he runs out the door, he kind of looks at me, the shocked look, and he's like, I'm not wearing a mask. And he kind of runs back in to grab his mask. And that, I guess, is just something quite interesting to watch.
Whereas us adults, maybe we're halfway down the street and then we think, oh, bugger, I didn't put the mask on. And I'm going to a shop. See, in New Zealand now, I think now you don't have to wear a mask outdoors, and most people won't if they're in an open space. We won't, but you know, you've got to have the mask ready to put on. I mean, my preference is, and shops I think can still ask you to put a mask on, but there's real variation. I don't think they have to, but they have the right to. There's a real variation indoors, but I often find with my glasses that it's also a case of my glasses getting fogged up, and then in the process of taking my glasses off so I can see properly, I put my glasses down, and then next thing, I can't remember where I put them. Is this an issue for people in Japan?
It is, and if anything, the last 2 years has probably skyrocketed research and mask development. So there's a whole range of masks that you can wear that don't fog up your glasses over here in Japan.
Have you tested some of these, Motoko? Do you need glasses?
Well, I wear contact lenses mainly because, yes, I don't like foggy glasses. But from what I've seen a very, very few people with glasses with foggy glasses on the train. So I assume that these work well. If you need some, I'm more than happy to send you a box.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe not a box, just a little envelope of them would do for an experiment. So where do you think this is going to go? Is there a debate? It sounds like there is. Is it likely that the restrictions on, at least on wearing masks outdoors, might be lifted?
I think everyone's looking towards the summer. That they're looking towards the Prime Minister to officially say that we don't need to wear masks outdoors, or just mask up in crowded places or in shops. Like you say. So I think that's just the unofficial word. But officially, he's keeping being quite quiet about this issue. And in fact, he's infuriated quite a few people because Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, he's been seen out and about doing his job a lot without masks. And when asked why he's not wearing masks, he says, he's going overseas, he's meeting with politicians overseas, and so he is just obeying the rules in those countries. But then he comes back to Japan, and a few days ago, he hosted the Prime Minister of Finland, who came to visit Japan, and he met her without a mask. And people are saying, well, it sounds like you're a bit of a hypocrite. You say you're following the rules of that country, whereas in Japan we're still wearing a lot of masks, but even then you choose to unmask. So I think people are wanting an explanation, and they're also just waiting for an official a senior official to say that you don't need to wear masks anymore.
Now, few things attract media interest as much as a missing child. Well, speaking for New Zealand here, I'm assuming that's also the case in Japan.
Yes, it is. And there's one case that has had particular attention in the last few weeks. So this is actually something, this missing case happened in 2019. So it was about just under 3 years ago. And a family just living outside of Tokyo, they went out camping, and then their six-year-old daughter just vanished. She went missing. She said she was going to go across the campsite to see some friends, and she never made it. And afterwards, there was a huge police search. There were more than 1,000 volunteers kind of descended on this tiny campsite just close to Mount Fuji. They tried to look for her for days and days, and no one could find a trace of her. She just completely vanished. And nothing had really come up after that. The mother, though, had been actively, really, really actively looking for information, asking people for information, taking media interviews, anything that she could do. And it wasn't until late last month in April that a volunteer that had regularly come back to this campsite to look for clues, he stumbled upon a partial human skull just outside the campsite. And after they'd found that, there was another massive police search. They've been sending police in searching the site every day for the past just under a month. and they have recovered other human remains, the small bones, clothing that is quite identical or very similar to what the missing girl had been wearing. And so it kind of came to the, so people were beginning to think maybe something happened, maybe this is the missing girl. And just this week, they managed to get a DNA match from one of the larger bones with this missing girl, Misaki Ogura. And so it's had quite a sad ending, especially given the fact that the mother has been trying so hard. And she has been, you know, literally on TV. She's been everywhere asking people for information about where her missing girl was. And so it's just, it's kind of struck a chord with everyone in the country that everyone's just really, really feeling for her. And they're really sad that it's kind of come to this.
I'm guessing she wanted to talk to the media as much as possible, at least to begin with, because that's the best way to get information out. Later on, however, how was her relationship with the media?
So her relationship has been quite solid. She's been the mother of the 6-year-old girl, Misaki, has been. She still takes regular media interviews. But as soon as they started finding more human remains over the past few days, she kindly asked everyone to stop calling her. And she said that she wouldn't take any more interviews because she said that the information that the police were giving her was just too much to process, that she just couldn't get her thoughts together in order to take questions from journalists. And what's been interesting is that she's actually been the only person that has been talking since her daughter disappeared in 2019. And that's largely because of the amount of harassment that she and her family and her friends have been getting over on media and mainly social media. So
Harassment.
one of the, so a lot of people have been criticizing her lack of, I guess, bad parenting. People saying you should never take your eye away from a young child. It's really her fault that the daughter went missing. To very extreme comments on social media. Some people suggesting that the mother, in fact, is a murderer, that she murdered her daughter and was just looking for an opportunity to hide the body, that her mother was using her daughter as a way to collect money from people, to steal money from people. There were a lot of very, very extreme opinions about this case simply because she had continued to be on TV. And it got to the point where actually earlier this year, she started suing some of these on these bloggers who had particularly said some really hurtful things about her, things that she says was misinformation, was untrue. The people that she was suing had suggested that she murdered her daughter in order to sell her daughter's organs to buyers overseas. They're particularly hurtful comments. And so the fact that no one had actually ever sued someone over social media comments, so that got a lot of attention.
Was she
But
successful?
I think it's still ongoing. I haven't heard of anything definite. But I think what people have been saying about this case and how it's kind of, they've been able to find, I guess, what happened to her daughter. They say it probably only happened because the mother was so persistent. The fact that she had continued to agree to go on TV is probably what kept the whole case in the public's mind. And it's probably what motivated these volunteers to keep going back to this campsite to help her find her missing girl.
Mojica, there are a couple of things that come to mind with you regarding this story. One is, it turns out that there are social media trolls in Japan as well as the rest of the world. And the other thing is, it reminds me a little bit of the Lindy Chamberlain case. Remember her and her baby that disappeared? This was in Australia's Northern Territory, I think near Ayers Rock, Uluru. and she said it was a dingo. And of course, she was eventually had to stand trial for murder. I think she was initially convicted and then she was acquitted. It just sounds a little bit like that case too.
Exactly. And so some people are a little skeptical of what had happened to her, of course, until this new evidence had come up. But of course, now you'd think the case is over, but it's still ongoing. I mean, the media attention that it's been getting on social media and in newspapers has dropped significantly. But the thing is that the conversation is still going on because the police have never actually revealed how Misaki had died. They haven't been public about the cause of death. And the problem is that where she was found, there was a lot of vegetative decay, and so it kind of ate away at the bones and her clothes to an extent where they really couldn't do a proper DNA test on it. But what they say is peculiar about this case was that where they found the human remains is an extremely difficult place for a child to go, and so a lot of the local people say it's just not somewhere. It's the hills are too steep. It's really, really bad. It's a place where you can easily get lost. You just don't see a small child being able to go there on their own. And there are all these other things that just don't match. Whereas if she had died of natural causes, then obviously they should start to find bones inside the shoe, the socks that they found in the area. If she had been attacked by a wild animal, or if she had been hurt by someone, then there should be traces of blood on the clothes that they found. There should be damaged bones. But the police have pretty much said nothing about any of that yet. So the general idea that people have is that they're still trying to investigate what had actually happened.
Monica, does it put you off camping?
Not really. Simply because there's a lot of campsites in Japan. And but I think what this has done is that it has reminded people not to take nature lightly. I think in Japan there's a lot of parents put a lot of responsibility on young children. They let them go to school by themselves when they're 5, 6 years old. That's perfectly normal. And so, but when you go out camping, when you go somewhere that's unfamiliar, I think parents have been kind of told that it's not the same as your neighbourhood, where you really need to keep an extra eye on kids.
I mean, what is the culture in Japan in terms of what you do outdoors in those really warm summer months, which you've now almost reached? I mean, it's already probably pretty warm, even though it's just May. For example, do you go to the beach?
Oh, absolutely. So you're going to the beach is a big thing. But of course, I think it's not quite the same as going to the beach in Japan. I found that there's a lot more stuff that you have to take. So a lot of the people here, they take UV really seriously, to the point where a lot of the women, they don't wear bikinis. A lot of the women, they'll wear full body length swimsuits to protect their skin. Because it's a beauty trend in Japan. The whiter you are, the more beautiful you are. So a lot of the women here, they go to it quite extreme. So they'll wear really long length bodysuits. You have to pack your tent as well, because there's no shade on the beach. So you have to take your own shade. And you can go to the shop and there's just shelves and shelves of things that you can take. Compact chili bin, if anything, from compact chili bins to mini swimming pools for the kids, because you don't want them to go directly into the sea, but you want them to get the beach experience.
Mini swimming pool that you take to the beach.
I do see them every now and then. Yeah, they're especially for little toddlers.
Is the water reasonably clean?
It depends where you go. So obviously the further away from Tokyo you get, the cleaner it is. I have been very tirelessly trying to find a clean-ish beach quite close to the city. The really bad ones are right by where there's a lot of buildings, and they just smell. That's the first thing that you notice. They smell badly. And then the other thing is that they have a lot of froth as well, because there's a lot of factories lined up across the port. So so people that use them, they don't really go there for swimming. They just go there to kind of see the beach kind of area. But if you want to have a nice beach experience, then I think at least, yeah, get out of Tokyo, hop in a car and go for at least about anything between 30 minutes to an hour outside of Tokyo. And I think you're pretty good.
Anything that rivals Foxton Beach, given that's possibly the beach you used to go to when you lived in Palmerston North?
It is. I remember going there for camps at primary school. maybe a few more people than Foxton Beach. Quite a few more people than Foxton Beach.
Do you have any beaches in Japan where people drive up and down the beach in their cars? Because, of course, that's what you get at Foxton Beach.
Given that there's so many people at the beaches, I don't think that's actually physically possible without hitting someone. But there is one beach in Japan that is known for, it's a very, very long beach. And I think it is one of the only beaches in the country where they allow cars to drive up and down it.
I suppose it's a perpetual traffic jam then.
Oh, gosh, no, traffic is terrible. I think one thing from from COVID is that now that people are going out, I think the traffic has got a lot worse, because everyone is going out now.
Montico, it's always fascinating talking with you. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you.